Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday Night Discussion Group. We'll be discussing Steve Ozenich's The Great Pain Deception again this week, which is going to be, I say favorite chapters all the time, but this is actually my favorite chapter because this is where I love doing a lot of work with. But anyways, chapter 30 is Visualize, Imagine Being Healed, and Heal. And we're going to be discussing that chapter tonight, and chapter 31, Communicate. And everybody knows how important it is to communicate and to, so you can learn new things and also get relationship. But anyway, with that being said, I want to just add, we have had so many good shows with so much good information in it that I want to let everybody know that to go back to the beginning of these, get on the TMSWiki.org, go back to the beginning of these discussions we've been having, and listen to each one from the first one up, and you'll get so much information that will help you. In my journey, I didn't only read and do the programs. I also, asked a lot of questions, and I listened to a lot of the recording, the discussions that Forrest and Bruce had already had. So I want y'all to know that it's good, to see things with your eyes, but hear it with your ears too. It's powerful. It's powerful medicine. Okay. With that being said, I want to mention the disclaimer. Before we start, I do need to let everyone know that this is a peer support group. None of us are medical or mental health professionals. If you have a medical concern, you should see a properly licensed physician, or as we say, a TMS physician. Okay. With that being said, we got the great summarist, Bruce, that is going to break off the summary. Thank you, Bruce.
Well, tonight we're dealing with chapter 30, Visualize, Imagine Being Healed, and Heal, and chapter 31, The Importance of Healing, chapter 31, Communicate. And these are two chapters of Steve Ozenich's The Great Pain Deception, 2011, that we've been covering over the last weeks. And I think it's probably best to approach these two chapters together. Because chapter 30 deals with the importance of healing through communication with the self, and chapter 31 deals with the importance of healing through communication with others. And also, Steve makes an important point there at the start of chapter 31, and recognizing that there is no difference between communication with the self and with others. And that leads to his conclusion in chapter 31. The necessity of family, the necessity of community, and also what it all begins with is compassion for yourself. Now, he begins chapter 30 with a statement, "Imagery gives the silent right brain a chance to bring its needs to light and to contribute its special qualities to the healing process." And that's from Martin Rossman, MD, Guided Imagery for Self-Healing. And he's talking in this chapter, Steve is talking about using guided imagery as a tool for healing yourself from TMS. And he says that guided imagery is one way we can access the unconscious mind. We have conscious control over, raising your arm, standing up, turning your head, or talking. But the problem is that there is no direct synaptic route to the unconscious world. And Martin Rossman again says that you have to go on this inroad to the inner advisor. And the way you do that is with directed imagery. He calls it listening to the mute, to the silent part of your unconscious mind. And Steve advocates a methodology that a lot of people advise and a lot of people concur about, and that is using the technique of progressive relaxation. And I think I've read in Dr. Weil's books about how to do this. While you're doing breathing exercises, You tense each area of your body progressively and work your way through each area of the body as it connects to the mind. So on your in-breath, you do a total inhale. This is Wheels methodology. I don't know. There are lots of different ones.
I learned that one from Maxwell Maltz when I was 15 years old.
We all hear the same kind of stuff. That's the thing about this is there is kind of a common thread in all of this. You take an in-breath, and then you hold it for a certain period of time. Wheel says 7 seconds. And during those 7 seconds, you like tense your face. Then you release your whole breath. This goes back to what the chapter we were dealing with before about breathing. Mm-hmm. And you let out all of the stress. And that's the point where you relax the area you tensed. And you move through your whole body that way until you get to your toes. And then Steve says that one thing that you can do is, after you've achieved this state of relaxation, is to program your dreams. You can do this relaxation before you go to sleep. And that's where the unconscious mind is more likely to be coerced, to get it to speak up. So you can have some dreams. And Steve talks about how this imagery worked for him. But perhaps I should say what I did yesterday when I was sick. I went through what Steve says to do about, progressive relaxation. I did a progressive relaxation exercise while I was laying in bed. Then I did some dreaming. I did some regulated breath work. And then I tried to think about what kind of, I was asking for some assistance. And all of a sudden, I fell asleep. And for 2 hours, I was dead to the world. But when I woke up, I realized I'd been dreaming.
And good. Yeah, you done something good there.
Yeah, I was back 20 years ago in Denver.
Awesome.
At a student house where I was when I was going to grad school. Except it was different now. There was the girl that I'd been going out with, and this guy comes along and he picks her up right in front of me and takes her away. Just like, later, buddy. And then to my right, I look over and there is my mother, very old now and frail, just before she died. And I said, I got to get out of here. So I went out onto the street and it was winter, and I went over to the to where my van was parked, the van that my mother had lent me money to buy. And it wasn't there. And I was sitting there on the street all alone. And then I started.
Was you consciously doing this while you was in this deep delta state?
This was just the storyline that was unfolding.
Okay, go ahead.
So the girl I should have married 20 years ago went off with another guy, and there was my mother who helped me through grad school and bought me the van. Except now she was dying, and I went outside, and the car was gone. Abandonment, just what Steve talks about. That is our greatest fear. Here I was sitting alone on the street corner without my car, without my girl, and my mother dying.
So this happened, this was what you experienced yesterday?
It gave me an answer to what my situation was.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I thought it was really, it works. In other words.
That was a great example, Bruce. Wow. That was exactly what Steve talks about in his book here, you know, letting these... just letting it come to you like that in a dream.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
Like the dream prophet. Yeah, like that. And I did not intend to do this. And I haven't been having dreams in a long time, but it works.
That's the best way when you don't intend.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And in this chapter, which is very important and is central, that is chapter 30, Steve talks about how he healed himself with guided imagery from the back pain that had tortured him for 27 years. He says he began by imagining my mind as perfect with anatomically perfect discs and huge openings for the nerve endings. And he kept doing it consistently. And finally, for a few seconds, he would not hurt when he was walking.
Yeah.
And he kept this up. Repetition is really important.
Mm-hmm.
He kept at it. And finally, the pain went out of his back and went into his feet. And so he started going out running, and he imagined that he was running on soft snow. Here mm-hmm. is the power of visualization.
And well, he saw the soft snow, and he imagined he was running on cotton, right?
Yeah, because, on cotton.
Yeah, because that's what I do when I run. I imagine I'm running on cotton. I picked that up from Steve there, yeah.
Yeah, he could teach you a lot here, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah.
It's cool. And so that's how Steve-O healed. And now he never has any pain when he goes running. But he had to sit there for a long time doing those visualizations.
Yeah, I mean, you have to make it habit. You got to get it conditioned. And after you get it conditioned, you'll be able to hold, you know, images in your mind for 15, 20 seconds, and then it start to fade. But you keep on and keep on at it. You get real good, like the Swami there.
You got to keep the faith, too.
You better.
he was only getting pain relief for a couple of seconds here at first, but he kept at it and kept at it and kept at it, and then it got longer and longer and longer and longer. And he uses some examples from Wolf Langevitz's studies about pollen allergies. If people imagine that they're in a place where there aren't any allergies, their reaction to pollens, objective reaction to pollens as allergy sufferers, go down 30%.
Now let me ask you something. Is that not amazing right there in itself? You know,
that's
past a placebo. I mean, they're not even practicing a placebo. They got these guys in there imagining with their minds and doing these images and visualizations. That's what brought it to pass. It had nothing to do with a placebo on that.
Yeah, and one sentence of his stood out to me. Visualizing a healthy body reverses or interrupts prior false experiences by breaking the long-term neural relationships. He's talking about changing your biology by...
With your thoughts.
With visualization.
With control... A lot of times I like to say, think about what you're thinking about, because a lot of times people's got things just running through their head and they don't got control over them. And then when you, through guided imagery, visualizations, things like the IFS therapy model and mm-hmm. other therapies, you can learn how to control images and sounds and things that's just running rampant in your mind. And when you start controlling them, you'll start to see that a lot of anxiety, a lot of pressure that's been on you will start to lessen. And even that, you know, with less anxiety, less pressure, you start to feel better too, you know?
Well, people have been doing this for thousands of years, as the example he gives of Swami Rama, who could control his heart rate and his respiration. It even gives an example of him moving a needle, where is it, 5 feet away.
Yeah.
He's got such control.
That's some powerful stuff.
And that's at the, where was it? In 1969 at the Menninger Foundation.
Yeah, he dropped his heartbeat from what, 60-something beats to all the way down to like 40-something beats within a minute?
Yeah, exactly.
And then he gives the example about the orange and the lemon, and you think about it, and all of a sudden your mouth starts to water. He's just telling you how the thoughts can control things, you know, physically in your body.
I swear that reading this chapter, I can remember everything in it, because it speaks so much to the situation you're in with TMS and gives you a door to healing. It tells you how to do it. And then there's, of course, this example of Chris Reeves at the end where he was able to heal that abscess in his foot by just imagining it being healed. And Steve uses the, I think Steve says this is an example of how all things want to return to unity.
Yeah.
And
well, they wanted to cut his leg off, guys. They wanted to cut Chris's leg off, and he thought no, and he sat there and he stayed relaxed, and he kept that peace and stuff. But he looked out at the mountains, and he just imagined in his mind that his leg was healing. And I think it was 6 months. It was almost healed, right, Bruce?
Yeah, it took 6 months.
It was totally healed. Yeah, within 8 months, it was like it was just totally. Well, this is the whole flesh. He had a hole in his leg all the way down to the bone. So
yeah,
he's actually recreating. Yeah, through the imaging, he was imagining the flesh recreating and filling back up the hole and everything fixing to where, again, the doctors told him, we'd have to cut your leg off. It's not going to heal. But he sat there, paraplegic in that chair, and he imagined that hole in his leg healing. And with 8 months, it's documented that he healed that hole in his leg. The power of the mind.
I think this little box on page 300, the text in that summarizes the entire chapter. Mm-hmm. Steve puts these little boxes in there. The idea in guided imagery healing is to relax, progressive relaxation, and to allow symbols and images to rise to some form of awareness, especially before sleep, to ameliorate the reason for the pain by implanting healthier images. You may have a dream that night or an image that your body or a higher source reveals as an answer. These images and symbols are the reasons behind the symptoms. Guided imagery also has another equally important direction, and that is to send good imagery into the mind-body to alter prior experiences. Imagery is a two-way street.
Well, see, there at the end, he was talking about prior experiences, which basically are our past memories. And at the beginning, there he was talking about, how to relax and deal with things. Well, one's from the inside, and then the other one's from dealing with things from the outside in another area. But here's about past memories and plus things you're going through in the present, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And when he said wait for them to float up, one of the things I do, even during the daytime, even when I'm not all relaxed, if I'm going and something negative pops in my head, I'll just go ahead and start imaging it in a better scenario in my mind. That's how advanced I've gotten, that I don't have to go under total relaxation all the time anymore. I can just actually walk and do it as I'm going through my day. So I just eradicate it pretty quick.
Yeah, you're integrating your unconscious mind into your conscious day-to-day mind. You're in touch. That's cool, Herbie.
You start using the imagination, you're connecting the two. You're connecting.
You're
the whole
an body. Adept. You're a guru.
Well, I mean, that's exactly what I'm doing. And again, I mean, everything in here that Steve's talking about is total truth, man. And one of the things Steve says is he doesn't understand why more people doesn't jump on this. And I don't understand it either, because when I jumped on this and applied it to my TMS healing, the difference was like night and day. I had total control over, memories that bothered me, thoughts that bothered me, reactions that would have set me off before, a lot of stuff. I had total control over it. Of course, I've been doing meditations and stuff since I was 15 now, but at the same time, I re-upped it and started doing it a lot more precisely in the way you're supposed to do it better. And I've gotten remarkable results. But you don't have to be a guru. All you got to do is believe what it says and practice it and condition yourself to it.
Well, people have been doing this stuff for thousands of years.
Nobody seems to be doing it anymore. I know in all fields, all through the United States and all over the world, people still doing it out there everywhere, but that nobody's doing it on not many people other than the IFS therapy that Enjoy's got. And now I'm coming out and telling us some of the NLP models. I don't see many people talking about, how they're controlling images and voices and, stuff like that. It's almost when I answer on how to control like images and make them change to a better way so that, it won't be bothering them all day or all week or all month.
Yeah, when I heard about Philip Hoffman, it made me want to just grab him back from the dead and say, hey, we can fix you. You don't need to do this. Mm-hmm. There's yeah. another way.
Yeah. There he is, man. There he is. Go ahead, Bruce. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, we've got to get back to where we were. Now we've got to to chapter 31, communicate. And he says, healing comes communication with others, and they're knowing there is no difference between the two, between the self and others. And that's why he goes on to talk about community with Nana Aike Kumu, the Hawaiian healing techniques, where they get off, if somebody's sick in the family, they get everybody together and everybody who's related in the family and all the members of the family that are believed to be involved in the disharmony. Because the Hawaiians believe that it's fundamental disharmonies in personal relationships, which is that is causing illness. And that's what Steve obviously is trying to illustrate here. Mm-hmm. He calls all the family together. Then they give a prayer offered to bring divine guidance. Then they identify the problem. And once the grievances are stated, each individual is asked to forgive, to sincerely admit any wrongdoings. And the most important part of the process is mutual release through communication with the community and the family, where all individuals must agree on the problem, its sources, and those who have confessed must be truly forgiven, and those who have wronged must have truly confessed. So it's a matter of confessing and being honest, too, which is part of this, Steve, what Steve was talking about, confiding in someone else. And this is confiding in the whole family, is confession. And he also adds this caution. Steve adds this caution. But the family unit as we know it is largely fragmented, exclusionary, recalcitrant, proud, isolated, and increasingly disappearing in a secular, impersonal, self-centered world. He identifies the problem of narcissism and consumerism behind all of this fragmentation. And that's exactly what Gabor Mate says is at the root of addiction, is early childhood experiences where the family is in disharmony, where and also peer parenting, where teenagers get together and raise each other with all of their own problems as adolescents. Mm-hmm. And adults have abdicated the role of being parents. So the kids just take off on their own. He says that there's a necessity for relationships. Steve says that relationship clashes, however, show us a side of ourselves that we would not otherwise see. We must be and have opposites, a polarizing other. And he says that comes out in the family, and that's where the necessity of the family is. The whole chapter ends with, it begins with compassion for yourself, then communicating with others in a larger social unit, and then it all returns to the family at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a nice chapter, I think. So,
yeah, I like both of them.
So there's a lot more here that I've said, but I think it's about time that everybody comes in with their two bits worth.
I know that's right. Okay, Enjoy. You want to add anything to that?
Well, I just think this is, these are really, really good chapters. I mean, I've been a sort of aware of this stuff, but I knew something about Ho'oponopono, the Hawaiian thing. I also knew something about visualization, but I've kind of forget it as I go along. So this totally reminded me, and it's really, really, really helpful.
Yeah, I
know.
So I'm
reading these chapters. This is great.
Yeah, this reminded me of what these Hawaiians had told me about that methodology for healing sickness within the social unit, within the family unit. I'd heard this before.
Yeah.
It really stood out, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Janice Tom, what you doing, buddy? Can you hear us?
Hi. Yeah. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. We can hear you pretty good. We was talking about imagery, you know, chapters 30 and 31, I believe. Imagery,
yeah.
And you know, communication. Would you like to add anything on that, Tennis Tom?
Sure. Yeah, I just woke up from a nap. I think I'm getting a little awake now, so I got Steve-O's great book here in front of me, page 301, and a last box. Since we live in a world where people want scientific answers to their emotional cause problems, it's interesting about the neuropeptides that Candace Pert you know, mentioned about. And
I love that part.
Yeah. So Steve-O provides the scientific evidence that people want in this day and age for illness, the causes of it. And you have the neuropeptides, which latch onto a body part and communicate with those cells. I think you said that we're discovering that it's the surface of the cell, not the nucleus of the cell, that is being transmitted to. And in the cellular environment, and these chains of neuropeptides are giving instructions to shut off, let's say, the oxygen, if that's the mechanism for it. And there's the scientific evidence people need: neuropeptides communicating negatively, causing pain, and that if you understand the knowledge, the scientific knowledge, you can with your mind direct those neuropeptides to go somewhere else. When after I read this chapter, I was directing him to go. My shadow self was telling him to go go to some other asshole I don't like. Latch on to them and give them problems. But I didn't really mean it. Yeah, but you know, kind of you know, my dark self. I didn't really mean anyone else to have a problem, but you know, they're. You know, I can't control that, you know. That's my shadow self saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. We can always blame it on that.
Yeah. I think you hit on it, Ms. Tom. These two chapters are at the core of the body mind paradox. And they do offer a route to healing, to actually changing your biology with your mind.
Yeah, you start imagining. You start in your mind. You imagine, you know, the neuropeptides going and delivering what you need to those body parts. And over a while, but you know, I believe this is what Candace Pert.
Yeah,
I believe
Candace Pert.
And even Bruce Lipton was in on some of the or mm-hmm. on some other study in the book there. But she proved that, you know, the mind can direct those. And after a, you know, somewhat being conditioned, you know, to imaging or visualization, you can actually make that happen to where these neuropeptides are directed and they're actually taking oxygen, you know, to these parts, or you can just believe oxygen's going to these parts in your mind and imagine that, you know, like say your shoulder's hurting, you can imagine oxygen's going to your shoulder, you know, and when you do, all of a sudden the shoulder starts feeling better. That's happened for me a lot of times. There's all kind of ways, you know. Everything you hear, and especially with the science to back it up now, which is such a beautiful thing. There's you know, there's different ways you can do it, but just use your imagination. It's powerful. You're hurting your back. Imagine oxygen being run to your back. I like the way he spoke up about the, you know, the vertebras and the cushionings in his spine, and the way he imagined his spine to be perfect, you know. And believe me, those neuropeptides was working to make that spine the way he was imagining it or visualizing it to be. Well, he
I imagined my discs as perfectly cushioning my spine with each step I took.
Yeah. And yeah. You know, it really helped him. So hey, and then what? Candace Pert backs up everything he's saying here. So that's some good stuff. I mean, wow, you know. Okay. Well, anybody else want to talk a little bit about the imagination or you know, the imaging and the visualizations? And has anybody got a question that
you know, you might have with this?
This is all...
Okay, is that Joseph?
Yep.
Okay, Joseph, and then Amy, that was Amy spoke up. Amy, if it's okay, we'll let you come in next.
Sure.
Okay, great. Okay, Joseph.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say how all of this is very new to me, and that I'm just glad to be able to listen in for the moment.
Joseph, we're glad you're here, buddy. It's just people like you that, you know, that wants to get better, that wants to see a change, that keeps us, you know, doing this nonprofit thing and keep moving forth and keep doing all the studies we do to help everybody along, you know?
Well, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions right now? I mean, about anything. You can go off the side and anything about TMS now. Anything.
I've done a lot of study of TMS, and I've worked with it over the years, and done a lot of journaling, and everything resonates, and I completely believe in it. But I need a more consistent practice to, I think, just keep pummeling away at the unconscious, trying to get a more full-bodied belief in the diagnosis. So the program on the website's been really helpful with that so far, and I did the commitment.
Yeah, I was gonna leave that chicken
noodle soup. So just appreciate it and keep after it.
That's all right, great. Gary. Good to have you here.
Sounds like you're doing exactly what you need to be doing, Joseph, so that's good.
Yeah, I guess I'm so grateful to have people like you. Years ago I went on, they just had a forum, and I was so impressed to see the difference from that to what this has become. There's so much knowledge here. It's almost overwhelming to me, and I appreciate your dedication. I guess for me it's a little overwhelming because I'm trying to do too many things at once, and then I find, I just give up. Things don't seem to work, and I have a lot of pain, and then I tend to give up, and, you know, I'm not consistent with doing things. And then I think, well, that sounds great what you were just talking about, the imaging.
Yeah.
I've been doing a little meditation. I just started, and I just have a hard time. Like, I think I'm fearful that I'm not going to be able to do it, and, like, I'll start it, and I'm, you know, I just have a lot of fear towards the whole thing. It works for everyone else, but it won't work for me. I get into that mindset that I'm different, and, you know, I'm the one it's not going to work for, and I fight myself, and it's very non-productive. I realize that. I don't know how to try to get out of that.
Well, some of the advice that Steve offers here is pretty simple. You don't have to go through some conversion experience. You just have to have the right imagery. If you constantly, like if you hurt when you walk, imagine all the time that when you're walking, it's easy for you. Imagine all the times you could walk without any pain. And you
keep
that focused in your mind. And if you keep it up, repeat it often enough, then you won't have any need for these doubts.
Okay.
Well, like, for instance, like Amy, what is your pain or anxiety? Is it pain or anxiety?
Well, I have both.
Okay.
It's generally pain, but right now I just started speaking to a TMS therapist.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, it seems, and I started doing just like, I haven't been working because I've been in such pain. I'm just doing like this babysitting job. So it's,
Is it overall body pain?
No, I have, it's butt pain, mostly back butt, and then I get some tingling down my legs.
Piriformis, is that what they call that, Bruce?
It's not piriformis.
Standard.
Okay.
Standard sciatica.
Well, say
yeah,
you would imagine.
It's not sciatica. I've had sciatica before. That's not what it is. But the sitting is what really, like sitting in a car, it kills me. Sitting is the worst for me.
Yeah.
I find myself.
When you sit down, imagine oxygen flowing into those areas that you're hurting at. Just imagine.
Okay.
And then,
I'm going to try that.
Well, yeah, try it, and you'll see that. But keep trying it.
You have to keep it up, yeah.
Yeah, keep that up. It probably, you have to be conditioned to it. Everything, you know, takes three, 4 weeks to become, you make it a habit. So when you make it, by the time you get to make it a habit, you'll start to imagine, you know, and seeing in your mind's eye this oxygen flowing to that part of your body and feel it there. And then you'll start feeling it there within, you know, three to 4 weeks. So
yeah, because it's conditioned now that every time I'm in the car, I have pain. I know it's conditioning. I absolutely know that.
Yeah, when you get in the car and you sit down and you start hurting, go ahead and start imagining the oxygen flowing to those areas that's hurting.
Okay.
Do that every time. Do it every time. If you sit in that car 100 times a day, do it 100 times a day. Okay?
I'm gonna do that.
Go ahead, Bruce.
I think there's a Buddhist koan that says, imagination precedes accomplishment. And at the top of 300, page 300, Steve confirms that. You can't heal until you can imagine yourself as okay and as being healthy and happy and pain-free. In other words, you have to imagine it first.
Let me ask you something else, Amy. When you think of yourself in your mind, the actual picture of yourself in your mind, is the picture in color? Is it a beautiful person, or is it in black and white and far away?
I don't know. I never thought like that.
Well, I guess I
feel like my appearance is fine. I mean, you know, I'm in shape. I'm not afraid to exercise. I do yoga and I walk, and the yoga's new. Like, I used to be an athlete, and then I hadn't for a while, but I'm back to doing the yoga, and I do a lot of walking, whereas I used to run. So my image of myself and doing things is okay. It's just sitting
If you was to close your eyes just for a sec, or just keep your eyes open and just pretend you could see yourself, I mean, how does it look?
I look okay.
You look pretty. So you can see it. Do you look pretty good? Is it in color? Is it in color?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you smiling?
Yeah.
Are you happy? Are you healthy and happy?
I haven't been happy.
No, in what you're seeing, in the picture you're seeing of yourself, are
in the
you happy
picture and... I see, I can see myself looking happy.
You
that
can
doesn't
see
mean, but I
happy?
Haven't. Yeah.
Okay, make yourself more vibrant. See yourself happy and healed in that picture. Okay.
Okay.
In the way you want to be, see yourself the way you want to be. Okay.
Okay.
Every time you think. Every time you get this feeling, you should be able to see a picture with it. And when you see that person the way you want to be. And then go ahead, you know, and become associated with that picture. Do you know what I mean by association?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, do that. Do it every time, you know. And then that's what Steve's talking about here with the imagery is using it like that to see yourself healed. Okay.
Okay. The book. I never haven't gotten that far in it.
Yeah, some people say, I can't see myself healed. And what that means is I know that that in their mind, they can't see their self healed. Literally, they can't see their self healed. A lot of times we take that as just a cliche word. Some people say, I can't hear what you're saying. Or some people say, I can't see myself, you know, doing that. Well, they'll never do it because they can't see their self doing it. But if you actually can think, you know, what you look like when you see yourself, and then make that self of you healed and vibrant and the way you want to be and jumping up and down and happy and hugging all your friends. Hold that image. See that image every time you see yourself. Then that's the guided
idea.
That's the guided imagery we're talking about.
Okay, I like that. I really like that a lot, actually. Yeah, I think it's something I could do.
Yeah.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, and Joel, you want to add anything?
No, I'm pretty new to all this stuff. I mean, I've read about it, but I've never really bought into it before. But I'm starting to. In fact, I did a lot of trading in NLP, and I never really bought into it. You know, but I have all the material and stuff, and I know what to do. So yeah, I made a decision last week and I talked about it on the phone call and I'm going to do a lot more of this stuff. I mean, I've been dealing with TMS since 1993 and a lot of things have worked for me, but I still keep getting every once in a while get something new pops up.
Yeah.
And when you say you've been dealing it 1990, so it's not a chronic, it's on and off. It's on and off. Sometimes I'm just fine for a month on end. And it's I read my first book by Dr. Sarno in 1993, and I had such terrible back pain that I couldn't work. I couldn't look after my kids. It was just hopeless, you know. And it completely healed me. I mean, seriously, I was one of those instant cures that people talk about. But the thing is, a few years later, something else came back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something else that I eventually got around to rereading the books and thought, okay, this is TMS, so I had to deal with it another way. So this is fairly new to me, even though I've heard it, but I haven't walked the walk. So I'm going to be doing a lot of this in the next while. Yeah.
I want to say something. Everybody on here, when you think in your mind, how do I look? You know, how do I? Well, usually you'll think, well, how do I feel? But if you can go ahead and put a picture with that, or how you think you look, and in that picture, if you're not looking all that great and you're looking tired and down, it's your imagination. So go ahead and just change that picture to a vibrant person that's healthy, the way you want to be. Jumping up and down, all happy, and you'll see it'll make a huge difference in your life. Pretty much immediately when it comes to your anxiety levels and stuff, because a lot of times we don't see us getting healed. Like you said, one of y'all said earlier that you're going to be the person that ain't going to get healed, you know, or you might be the person that's exempt. You know, so start seeing yourself as the person that is going to heal. Start seeing yourself as the person that's just going to be like, you know, one of your great success stories that you might read from TMS Wiki. See that, you know, and stop limiting yourself by these visuals you have in your mind that you can't do it. You know, a lot of times we say, well, I just can't do it. But if you think about what picture you have of yourself in your mind, usually it'll be a person that you'll see in your mind that just can't do it. So go ahead and imagine seeing that person get vibrant, holding the shoulders back, standing up, being strong, all bright colors, and you'll see it'll make a huge difference.
And then the other thing I find is, like, I'll start doing that, and, you know, I might feel good for a couple days, and then I think, oh, this is great, and then it comes back with a vengeance, and then it's like, ugh, you're back to squeeze, you know, it's depressing. It's like you feel like you're better, and then it's boom, you're back to square one. You know.
Well, the question is, do you got all bases covered? I mean, are you taking care of communication? Are you taking care of your imaging? Are you doing Dr. Sarno's 12 daily reminders? You know,
I don't do what. I don't do all that stuff.
Okay, well, that's the problem then. That's what you have to do. You have to know Dr. Sarno's 12 daily reminders, page 82 from Healing Back Pain. And then on top of that, you have to implement, you know, seeing yourself is already healed in your mind's eye. And then eventually you'll start feeling it, you know, and do things like that. You know, a lot of times on the TMS Wiki, I ask people, what's your protocol? And what I mean by what's your protocol, what are you using right now? What system or program are you using that's helping you get to your next level? And when they tell me, I always, if they're not getting good results fast, or, you know, good results, I can't say fast because it's a nonlinear path. But at the same time, I always hear something that they're missing out on, something they're not doing. And then I'll just tell them what that other part is that they're not doing. And next thing you know, they're doing great. So that's all you got to do is just add some more pieces to the puzzle.
So how much of a time in a day are you supposed to put into this?
I don't know. You can put, starting out, you could put, you know, the regular 20-30 minutes in the morning, and, you know, 15-20 minutes at night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that the 12 reminders? I don't know, Healing Back Pain. I do have that book. Okay.
Yeah, page 82.
Page 82. Okay.
I'll tell you what I do with the 12 reminders. The way I do the 12 reminders is not just to read them every day and repeat them. Before I read them, I do a series of progressive breathing exercises, so I'll be in a receptive state of mind.
I like
and
that.
I clear the table, then I look at the 12 daily reminders, and then I read them out loud to myself.
Oh, wow.
And then when I'm finished with that, I do breathing exercises again, and then I go over them another time. And each time you get more out of them that way, because it's so easy to just read those things and make them into like Dr. Sino says, by rote. You don't extract the information you need to, unless you're in the right frame of mind when you do it. And that takes about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And
yeah, have you ever had a job? You know, have you ever had a job where when you started, everybody else around you was real fast and it was doing it real good, and you thought to yourself, I'm never going to catch up to this. But then within a month, you're like, you're just as good as they are. Well, it's the same way, you know, with the knowledge therapy, with getting it in your head. You know, you right now, you know, you just got to keep that practice up, you know, maybe 5 days a week, 6 days a week, and eventually you'll get there. Go ahead,
Marissa. So you guys, it's on. Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
I was just going to say.
Go ahead. Who is
okay.
this?
Okay.
Sammy?
Yeah. I was just going to say, it sounds like you guys are all. Are you healed from this? Like, if you're healed, you still have to do it all the time?
Oh, I'm healed. And the reason I do it is because I teach and help others. But at the same time, I do it so I can maintain and keep myself from ever having to experience any pain anymore. So, you know, but then there comes a time for me, there comes a time that it's just second hand, it's second nature, it's habit. Mm-hmm. And I just do it out of habit, and it's no problem.
Wow.
You know, yeah, that time came rather quickly because I got conditioned to, you know, each one as I learned them. And remember, Amy, don't try to study no more than one learning lesson at a time. Don't go and try to learn seven or eight things in one day. Just learn that one thing at a time and practice it until you get it good, and then go to your next reminder or your next imagery or your next meditation. You know, do it like that. Take it. You know, slow and easy on yourself, and you'll get a lot more out of it than trying to, you know, do it all as fast as possible. You know,
okay, now when you say the 12 Dr. Sano steps, do you do those all at once?
Well, everybody knows with the 12 steps, as Bruce is fixing to say or would agree with me, that when you read them, one's about not fearing, one's about not having, you know, anger. And what they're doing is they're telling you in those 12 steps the things that you're self-sabotaging yourself with.
Yeah, that's what I do.
Through self-pressure, through self-criticizing, through so many other things. Bruce, you want to add to that?
That's why I do the breathing exercises before I go through the 12 key thoughts. Sarno's 12 key thoughts. So I'll reflect on them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll assimilate them. So I just won't read them out loud and then say, oh, that's done.
See, he's actually got his mind relaxed.
So it'll mean something. Yeah.
Yeah.
When he does the meditation, he calms his mind down, calms his body down. And then when he reads Dr. Sarno's 12 steps, he can take it into his mind better, into his body, his mind body.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, I see.
Yeah,
what he
that's
means,
great.
Huh?
And yeah. Bruce, are you healed too?
Well, is anyone really ever healed from TMS? My
symptoms, no, I mean from your symptoms.
My symptoms have decreased and are continuing to decrease 90%. And
oh, that's
I'm
great.
Moving toward the point where I will be 99% healed. But
that's
I
great.
Think you once you have those personality traits due
right.
to due to trauma, due to personality characteristics, you have to always be aware.
Yeah.
That they're there. I think it's like Philip Hoffman. I think it is like a drug, an addiction.
Sure.
Once you've, it's really hard once you've got your brain in a certain biochemical neural pattern to not return to it because
mm-hmm.
those habits are ingrained. But awareness can get you out of that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're aware of the way it works. If you have knowledge, that isn't that what Dr. Sardo says, Herbie?
Yeah.
Knowledge is the cure. Once you're aware of these things, you won't go back. You're too smart.
Yeah, see, I had knowledge and I did go back.
Yeah, you got to maintain and stay with it. Yeah, and eventually,
yeah.
you know, it'll be like you just have it. It'll be second nature to you. And say if you was go 5 or 6 months without studying or keeping up with it because you went on a 5 or 6 month long vacation, if you still remember everything then and you're still, you know, doing all the steps that you need to do, then that's fine. But if you just forget it and go back to, you know, self-criticizing, go back to self-pressure, go back to, you know, not relaxing anymore and not having communication with friends and connection and relationships, then, yeah, the pain will come back. So what you have to do is actually, you know, it's sort of like a life change, you know. It's not
yeah,
changing
it's a lifestyle.
Personality.
Yeah, it's yeah. like
yeah,
a lifestyle change.
It's like the 12 steps.
Yeah.
Yeah, for an alcoholic or a drug addict.
Right. Right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to know. It's just a very lonely feeling, and it's nice to have people that, you know, you can feel connected to that have this.
Yeah, that's a connection. That's exactly what Steve talks about, transcortification. He says
yep.
forgiveness of yourself, compassion for yourself,
right.
being part of a community, and then finally healing the division in your family relationships. Because he says that's where it all starts.
Yep, I see that.
Yep.
And that's
yep.
a good reason for Enjoy's internal family systems, too, that she does the IFS
uh-huh.
therapy. So,
uh-huh.
which is very powerful in imaging, if you ask me, because just a couple of weeks ago, it really helped me a lot. I had something in my mind, and even though I know how to eradicate and get negative images out of my mind, get negative sounds out of my mind, I know not to self-pressure, I know not to self-criticize, but there was still that one stuck thought from when I was 15. And I went to Enjoy's IFS therapy the day that they have it on, and I got freed of that. And as soon as I got freed of it, or as soon as the image went away, this negative image was in my mind, I instantly felt, you know, like powerful, man. I felt awesome. So,
wow.
you know, check into this stuff, but make sure, Joseph, everybody's on here. Take it one page at a time, one lesson at a time, and get that lesson down. And I believe in SCP, the first things you're going to start learning is your journaling. You know, and some people say, well, I don't like journaling. Well, that, you know, not talking about your feelings is one of the issues that's got you, you know, holding them all in and creating pain. So, you know, maybe you need to go, you know, talk to somebody like you're doing right now, you know, but I think journaling's real good. But like with Steve, he could think of it in his mind what the issues was, and he could come to an agreement in his mind where everything's okay. So you can do it with journaling or, you know, coming to an agreement with your mind.
Steve got his journaling out when he wrote this book. This book is an act
oh, yeah.
of therapy. And then going on the road on a tour with it, he's constantly
yeah.
reinforcing his lessons.
Sure.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I tell people all the time, like every post I wrote, almost every post I've written on the wiki, it's just me journaling. You know, it's me journaling the things that's on my mind. And when I do that, it helps me, you know. So. Mm.
Me too. Yeah.
You too, enjoy? Killer.
Yeah, me too. I just use the wiki as my way of expressing what's happening in my healing journey.
Awesome.
Help.
Well, all writing is a form of self-therapy.
Of self.
Yeah. Even fiction writing.
Yes. Yes, it is. See, and that's one of the first things you learn, Amy, in the SCP program. So get that down. Get it down real good. Learn what James Pennebaker has to say. Learn what the people on, you know, in the site there have to say about journaling, and it'll really help you. But that's the first step, you know. So, and then go from there.
Which program do you recommend? It's on the. I know there's a couple different ones on the.
Okay,
wiki.
I said SCP, but with you, Enjoy a while ago said the Alan Gordon program is called the TMS Recovery Program. It'll help you a lot.
Okay, yeah, I read it through in like an hour, and I'm like, whoa, I need more time than that.
Well, that's just what happened is you got to slow down and learn.
Yeah.
Within that hour, what happened is you got probably, you know, 15, 20 lessons there that you need to learn. So back it all the way back up. And if it's just, you know, three or four sentences, if you get a lesson out of those three or four sentences, make sure that you spend the rest of the day thinking about that lesson and getting it implemented into your mind. Okay.
Yeah, I just overwhelm myself, basically.
Well, I think we all have a tendency to just.
Yeah.
I think we all have a tendency just
to. You have to remember that the part of you is trying to resist healing.
I know. Yes.
And a part of you wants it. So, you know, you have to gradually develop a path to get past that part that wants you in pain for whatever reasons it has, you know. And it's hard to imagine that we want this, that we want the pain. But part of us does. Mm-hmm. Part of us is trying to keep something hidden. And so our job is to let that go. And some people have to spend a lot of time digging it out, and others don't. You know, it's very different. It's very individual. And I think it's great that what Herbie has been saying about the path and the protocol, that sort of thing. There are there's some basic stuff, and that is, you know, basically it isn't physical.
Right.
Another very basic thing is you can change it.
Yep.
Another basic thing is that you have to be patient. Like, there's a whole lot of things that are very, very basic that you need to learn. But then you gradually learn what works for you.
Yeah.
Right? And you incorporate that into your practice. And so, really, as far as I'm concerned, TMS is recovery from life, you know.
Awesome.
Kind of person we tend to be quite sensitive. We're very determined. We have a lot of strength in a lot of ways. A lot of these things are very good, but what it ends up doing is that it causes us physical pain we have to sort out over time. And so the way that we do that, there's some things, yes, we have in common, but other things we have to discover on our own, patiently and slowly, and not to worry about it, because it's actually really quite wonderful. Right at this point, like, maybe I'm thinking, oh, well, I shouldn't be here talking this talk. I should be out doing whatever it is that I consider worthwhile to do in the world. Well, this part of our path as human beings. We have to do this healing for ourselves, and then we can do the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And we do it at the same time,
that's
of course.
Awesome.
Sure.
Well, Enjoy just mentioned what I call is a presupposition, or you presuppose. So in your mind, if you presuppose, you know, I don't want to be on. I don't want to be on there talking tonight. I'd rather be out, you know, doing something else or watching a good TV show. And you thinking that in your mind, well, and automatically you're going to agree with it, and you're going to go watch the TV show. But if you just go ahead and tell yourself in your mind the presupposition that I'm going to make sure I make it to that, you know, that call in tonight, and I'm going to do it no matter what. Well, then you just presuppose that you will make it to the call. But at the same time, if you got the presupposition that this is going to be hard and I'm going to be the only one that can't do it, then you have to back up and say no and make a new presupposition that this is going to be easy. I can do this. I can accomplish this. I will heal quicker than I did last time. Just go, even though they don't sound true, you say them enough, you'll make them true to yourself, and then your body will correspond.
Okay.
Well, that's really, it's one of these things where, you know, frankly, when I think back on my life, I'm glad that I have TMS, because otherwise I would be running myself in circles frantically doing stuff that I honestly don't want to do on some level, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm learning gradually to be me in an honest, straightforward, and far more useful way than I used to be, because I'm communicating, right? I'm doing all these things that we talk about, you know? It's a real learning path, and it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. You guys are great. I really am so grateful.
Thank you. You know, we don't think about when we hurt or something. We don't think, you know, what's causing that? Is it you know, something in the body that's making it happen? No, our presupposition is we automatically think, what is it emotionally that could be bothering me? And then we start to think, what is it? You know, and that's how we start to catch on that it is emotionally or psychologically and not, you know, physically. Okay. So another presupposition is not to focus on the body, you know. So
oh, that's hard.
Well, it might be hard, but if you start telling yourself, presupposing, and start telling yourself, hey, I can do this. I don't have to focus on the body every time I get in pain. I can start focusing on the emotions. What is it that's bothering me? What is
it
that's
trying to
on?
Really do that. I've been more successful at that, and trying to feel my emotions rather than just the feeling them as pain. Trying to feel like the reasons why and feeling the emotion, but it's hard. It's hard.
As Sarno says, think psychological.
And we can't do it anymore. Not unless we want to be in pain for the rest of our lives.
Yeah. We can't do what anymore.
Yeah.
We can't push.
Sarno says, when you feel the pain, think psychological.
Oh, right. I know. Yeah.
I think
we can't push the pain push the emotions away, because the alternative is the pain.
Right. Right. But sometimes it's hard to feel the emotions, I find it.
Well, you don't have to feel the emotion. You don't have to. All you got to do is think. You know, what was it that Maybe you got in an argument 3 days ago, and all of a sudden, you know, in your mind it pops up. When you think in your mind, you think, well, what is it emotionally that's bothering me, or psychologically? What is it that's bothering me? And then you think, well, you had an argument 3 days ago with, you know, the mailman or somebody or whatever. And then you start thinking about it, and then you think, well, I can – and then you – in your mind, just in, you know, with imaging, this is the way I do it, imaging – see yourself, you know, having a good time with the mailman, even though you had an argument. See yourself having a good time with the mailman, and just let it go. You know, let that thought go in a way. Release it. You know, but you can, if you can't just release it, then you can change. It's your imagination. You can change the picture of you arguing with somebody, and eventually you'll get real good at it, and that will make you feel. I mean, it will really start helping you. Thinking psychologically more and thinking, you know, emotionally.
And another thing that was in this this chapter of Steve-O's book, this last chapter that we were dealing with, was is that you have to realize that if you're having an issue with somebody, you are actually fighting with yourself. You're not with that other person. You are trying to avoid facing something in yourself. So you don't have to feel a lot of pain. Yeah, I totally agree with Herbie one. Don't, but you do have to look at what is going on with me. Why do I hate this person so much? Why am I so hurt? Why am I so angry? What's going on with me, right? And just face it, because that's where the pain's coming from. It is part of you trying to push something up into your consciousness and part of you trying to push it back down. And that friction causes the pain.
Right.
Yeah, that's awesome, because one of the things Amy was mentioning just a minute ago is she keeps trying to feel it. Did you say you keep one of the things you do is you keep trying to feel the emotion? Is that what you
said? Yeah, a lot of times I don't know what's wrong. Like, it seems like everything's going fine, and then I can't figure it out, and I'm in a lot of pain, you know?
Yeah,
like, I don't see that anything happened bad, or... You know, I'm getting along well with people, and, you know,
Are you familiar with the Rahe Holmes list of life stressors that are listed in Steve-O's book and also Dr. Sarna's book?
Steve-O's book, I've only read a few chapters. I have to read that.
Okay, have you read, are you familiar with the Rahe Holmes list?
Yeah.
The what list?
Okay, this is important because, once again, it's the scientific proof behind TMS.
About the deprivation with the oxygen talking about?
No. This is two scientists, Rahe and Holmes, and they did study,
that.
I don't know, in the 90s, and it's in Dr. Sarna's book, and you can easily Google it if you put in Google Rahe Holmes. R-A-H-E-H-O-L-M-E-S, the two scientists, you'll come up with Wikipedia and the list, and it lists the causes of disease, the situations, the life situations, and it gives them weight. For instance, I think number one is like divorce, going to prison, bring relief from prison. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah.
When you don't know what is causing it, well, there's some clues there. You can look at that list and say, what has happened, what on this list has happened to me within the past year? Okay?
Yeah.
And there's some clues, and they shift to your thinking from the pain to thinking emotional, psychological causes, and there's your science behind TMS.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that was good, Tom. That's it.
Yeah.
Look at that Rahe Holmes thing, the Rahe Holmes list that he's talking about. Rahe-Holmes Holmes, and then when you'll see all the things that you might have went through, and then just think about them, and then when you think about them, just and you get an emotion from it, well then just focus on the emotion without any judgment, and just be calm. And just focus on that emotion, and a lot of times through focusing, the anxiety from that emotion will eventually leave. So stop trying to run from negative emotions too. Accept them, love them. They're part of who we are, and just focus on it. And then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're having success.
Okay,
go. My phone is quitting on me. So love you guys. See you next week. Bye.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Bye.
Yeah, I think Enjoy brought up something that we didn't look at, and that's this quote on page 303. Effective communication begins with understanding that the things you hate in others are traits you despise within yourself. The closer to your own nerve, the deeper the pain you engender unto others, and the vicious cycle continues. To hide the self by pointing toward them. This is precisely why people get angry when they are told that their pain is coming from hidden emotions, why they won't accept it. At some level of consciousness, they know it is true, and so they must condemn it and find a physical cause to bury an unwanted image of themselves. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's called projection.
A projection, yeah. A big illusion. A hoax. A lie we're telling ourselves.
It's happening all the time. It's happening all the time to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
If people knew the things that we're talking about tonight, that Tom's talking about, that Bruce is saying, that I've been saying, that Enjoy was talking about, and implement this stuff into their lives, it don't only get rid of the pain. It changes everything about your life. It gives you the ability to enjoy your life again. Tom has done played 10,000 tennis games, you know, and he enjoys every minute of it.
Tom said, too, at another one of our talks, is really true. Because what we're trying to do is to undo the burden of the psychological burden of Western history, the history of Western civilization since the Industrial Revolution, the American Revolution, the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, World War I.
We was born into thinking this way,
That's what creates our modern mind. You know, Aborigines in Australia, they go right into the dream world, the dreamscape. Uh-huh. They don't have to do this stuff. But we're trying to create a community again after it's been shattered by history.
Yep.
We're here to tell you it works, and it's awesome. And there's tens of thousands of people all everywhere, probably hundreds of thousands. I know it's hundreds of thousands now that has went down Sarno's path and they've healed. And we're just excited about it because we know it works.
But aren't human beings so resilient? They want to return to unity, to community, to family, no matter what's happened. You know, Buchenwald, Hiroshima, Auschwitz, everything. We still want to get back together.
Yeah, that's right. And the sad thing is, you know, somebody could have an argument with a sister 20 years ago. And then 20 years later, they're still mad at them. And their health is just getting bad. And from this anger, from a lot of other angers and self-pressures and self-criticizing. And they keep holding it, you know? And the thing is, that happened 20 years ago. That's been over, you know? Yeah. It's been over. And the thing we need to wake up into the now, as Eckhart Tolle talks, with mindfulness and come into the now. Quit thinking so much in the past.
Yeah.
Quit thinking so much in the future. Enjoy every moment for the now. And when
his book. His book is great.
Yeah, and when you come into the now, you'll start to be able to forgive, people that you haven't forgiven in years.
Yeah.
Or a lot of things that happen. So you read the pain body part too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Eckhart Tolle is pretty good. He goes right with Sarno's teachings and Claire Weeks and others that we talk about.
Yeah, I actually listened to Claire Weeks. Someone posted all her four segments on I listened to that with anxiety. She was great.
Oh, yeah.
Herbie, didn't you do that?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you. That was wonderful. I listened to that over the weekend when I was having so much anxiety.
Good.
I'm going to – I have to keep listening. Like you said, I overdid it. I did too much at once, but I have to go back and do each one slowly.
Yeah, exactly. Implement one lesson, I'd say every 2 or 3 days or once a week I think it's set up in the TMS recovery program that, you'll learn a new lesson, 3 or 4 lessons a week. But just take your time with it, Take your time with it.
Yeah, that's hard to do. I don't know if I have the discipline to do a program.
Well, when I say program, all program is it's broken down about 15 different exercises of things that you need to learn to heal.
Okay.
Don't think of the whole program. Just think of one step at a time. Okay?
Yeah. That's
if you
true.
Look at it like that, if you look at it, well, I can read this one page today. I can do that. And plus, I can do that, what it says on that one page. If you can do that and learn the exercise, then eventually you'll be thanking all of us for it.
Yeah, but I don't think you need to do a whole bunch of things. If you do one thing right,
that's
it's
right.
like enlightenment. You've got it. Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good advice. Yep.
I mean,
you
I
guys have been so helpful.
Program.
I feel a lot better. I'm glad I got on this call.
Yeah, thanks.
No, thank you. Thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
Anybody else got any questions about TMS that might be, you know, bothering them? Something, some nagging pain that won't go away or something? Okay.
So will you be doing this every week still?
We've been doing this every week for 10 years now. It ain't been that long. But,
wow.
but you know, to me, even though I've been a part of it only 5 or 6 months now, it seems like I've been a part of it forever because it's family. It's like a family. You know, we're like a family here.
Okay.
We look
well,
out
maybe
for each
I'll
other.
Become a member.
Well, hopefully you will, and then you'll become, you know, one of our best friends, you know, long distance or whatever, and we're all there
yeah.
for you. We're there to back you up.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It really makes me feel like you have a support and you're not alone, you know.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's part of the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, because it's like I have a lot of friends, but, you know, and they have their own issues, but it just seems like an odd thing, like pain. You know, I don't know too many people that have this issue.
Amy, excuse me. You said you have a lot of friends. Is there any one of your friends who you can talk to about TMS or who relates to it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have friends that relate. They don't have it, but they do understand. Yeah. I mean,
no, they all have it. Everyone, but Amy, that's a fallacy. Everyone has TMS. It's part of the human condition. It's just they clued into it. Amy, you are not. You have not been singled out for pain in a minority. It's part of the human condition. Dr. Sarno says that, and we all get it. Whether it's allergies or colds or something. So, but. We all have it, but out of all these friends, is there any one of them who you feel you can talk to and they will relate to you about it? Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, I'm
well,
fortunate like that.
Talk to, you know, like, you know, this happens once a week, but, you know, ingrain your knowledge of TMS by discussing it with a fellow traveler, TMSer, and then you'll have another person who you trust, because most of the world doesn't want to hear this stuff. I mean, they're not ready for it.
Yeah. I mean, they don't think of themselves as having it, but they, when I talk to them, they can understand, but I don't think they think they have it.
You'll start to notice it all around you once you get clued into it. You'll see it happening.
I'd say 100%.
All kinds of body-mind connections and people around you. Like my next-door neighbor, perfectly healthy for 55 years, he retired. There, Holmes Rahi, and next, his mother died.
Mm-hmm.
Then, a month later, he comes down with ALS, autoimmune disorder, and 3 months later, he's dead.
Oh,
and
that
was not an accident. That was a clear...
Yeah.
A mind-body interaction.
Mm-hmm.
The stress triggered the gene in his chromosomes that was latent all those years, and bango, he's sick and dead. It was too much for him.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all going through stuff like that. You'll see it all around you if you get clued into it.
That's an excellent example.
You'll see you guys starting to nervously cough before they have to give a sales presentation. That's a body-mind syndrome.
Yeah.
Why has he got that nervous cough now? Why is
now,
his
I
mouth
see
getting
it,
dry?
But it doesn't seem like, with me, I'm obsessed with it. These people, it's a little cold, it's a little this. It's not like they're in terrible pain all the time.
Well, it's if they go through some traumatic event that... could bring it to the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Amy, once again, you said you have a lot of friends, and that one chapter was about communications. and it gave the example of the Hawaiians, where there's a problem, the kin group gets together and they talk it out, whether it takes an hour, a week, or whatever it takes till it's over with. Out of all of your friends, I mean, they're not tuned into TMS. They don't understand it. They go to Walgreens or they go to the doctor when they have a physical issue. They don't go to their mind. So I'd say find one of those friends or start talking about TMS and see how good friend they are after you start telling them it's in their head. Maybe you'll find out they're not a friend anymore.
Well, I have friends that are open-minded and do, you know, do believe in this kind of stuff. I really do. Maybe not
good.
All of them. Yeah.
No, they won't. All of them won't. If out of 20 you can find one and a half, you're probably doing good. You said you walk, you used to run, you walk. Maybe when you go walk with a friend who believes in it and talk about it, and then eventually you'll ingrain the knowledge. It has to penetrate into your subconscious. Okay, and then one morning you wake up, and you forget to think about the pain, and maybe later in the day you'll say, oh, wait, something's different. Oh, my shoulder doesn't hurt, or your butt, it doesn't hurt anymore, or something changed.
Oh, that would be wonderful. I hope that happens.
Well, Steve O'Sarno says it just fades away. Look, I've had shoulder issues at times, and sometimes it was 2 months, sometimes it was 6 months, and now it's less and less, and it just fades away. I don't obsess about it now, and then I'll say, you know, that damn shoulder, it's gone, and you just don't think about it, you know?
That's
how it works. You just wake up one morning and it's gone, slowly, but it's when your subconscious gets penetrated. I don't know if it's this chapter or anything ahead, but it said prefrontal cortex is only 5% of our brain. The rest of the 95% where the TMS problems are is in the other part, the shadow part, which has absorbed everything we've ever lived through in our lives, and heat, cold, all this. But that's most of it, but it has to penetrate into that subconscious 95%. And, you know, sometimes people are hard-headed, and it takes longer. So first you get it consciously, knowledgely, then you sleep on it. You know, you got to sleep on it, like the visualization before you go to sleep.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, visualize your well, or visualize Sarno or Steve-O, what he's saying, and fall asleep. And then you might even dream about being well. You might start dreaming about running. And the next day it fades away. But the scientific fact is, We're only conscious of 5% of what's going on at that prefrontal cortex, and all the rest of it, 95%, is all that subconscious that is really controlling most of our lives.
Well, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The
pretty scary.
No, that's good. You're in control.
Yeah. I just told you.
See, when you're no longer scared, then you realize, I'm in control of this. You know, you don't have to, you are now in control of your life. That's great. You're not being controlled by all other people, other thing. You are in control. And you can turn off the psychosomatic pain. That's what it is, psychosomatic pain. Everyone agrees on that. Sarno mentions calls it psychosomatic. That is in your body, but emanates from your brain, but spreads down your body, and you now have control of that. That should be not frightening. That should be a great feeling of power.
Now that should be the control part. Sounds great. Yes.
That's one of Sarno's 12 key thoughts too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have a lot of work to do.
Well, no, you don't. No. Remember now, focus on one thing at a time.
One thing at a time. Right.
Yeah. Get what Tennis Tom said here. Get what you know, enjoy said, get what Bruce said, because you'll be able to get what we're saying tonight on MP3 on a recording or something, or you'll be able to go to your computer and hear it, I think, by Thursday. So make sure you get this. Listen to it over and over again, and only practice one step at a time. Okay.
Okay.
One thing at a time, because if you think you got to do it all at once, it will overwhelm you. So remember, one thing at a time. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Amy, you don't have. See, you feel in order for you to get well, you have to have earned it. You got to be a perfectionist. You got to work at it. No, you don't necessarily have to work at it. You have to change your mind. You have to change your mind, but don't feel like, oh man, I'll never get through this. I have to do a lot of work in order to earn my not having pain. No, you just have to turn the switch in your mind. So don't make it out to be harder than it is. It's not that hard to do. And you control the switch in your mind through the knowledge. Just keep reading the books, understand the stuff. And one thing that often happens is people gloss over the stuff that they need to know, because that's part of the deal, is the TMS Gremlin makes them overlook the part that they need. That's why you have to really read carefully and slowly, word by word, and absorb it, and then maybe reread it again. But eventually, you just go do what you want to do. Go running, start running, and then forget about all this TMS stuff, and have a good life.
That's excellent. That's
awesome.
You
make it sound so easy.
That's good.
Thank you. That sounds great.
You're welcome.
All right. So I'll see you. Hopefully I'll speak with you guys next week. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thanks for sharing.
Bye.
Bye, Amy.
Good night. Take care.
You too. Bye.
That was awesome. Bye. Does anybody else have any questions about TMS? Anything about TMS you might want to know? Anything. Because I think with what Tennis Tom just said, that would be a great time to go ahead and say, this is the end of the show, guys. It's been awesome. We've had Tennis Tom on here tonight. We've had Enjoy. We've had some newcomers, and we thank you for being here.
Don't forget Bruce.
Oh, I ain't forgetting Bruce. See, I was fixing to always mention Bruce. We got Bruce MC over there that's always got a lot of great information. And this has been a show just slap full of good advice. And if you ask me, the advice keeps getting better every show. So next week we're going to go into, I believe it's power therapies and another section. But anyway, we'll get to that. And we thank everybody for being here. And have a good week. Thank you.
And thank you, Herbie, for being such a good moderator, the voice of the TMS Network of the Air.
Thank you, friend. Thanks
for reason.